Isaiah chapter 11. And I've got that on page 725. 725, Isaiah 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In our passage today, Isaiah sums up the legacy of Israel's kings with one depressing image. They're a stump. You know, the kings of Israel were supposed to be like this great hope of God's people. Whenever times were tough, especially, Israel would cry out to God to give them a king who could solve their problems, a king who could set the course for the future. Give us a king. And in all the history of Israel, no two kings were more highly revered than David and Solomon. You've heard of these guys, David and Solomon. They said that while David and Solomon were kings in Israel, the kingdom of Israel was like a mighty oak tree. The justice of David reached like a strong limb to the skies. The wisdom of Solomon was grounded with deep roots. Under David and Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was like a mighty tree. But by the time Isaiah shows up on the scene, David and Solomon are long gone. There's been a lot of kings in those intervening years, and it's a pretty mixed picture. Some of them were okay, but some of them were downright tyrants. They ignored God. They ignored the things that God cared about. And under their leadership, this once great nation was reduced to rubble. And that's where Isaiah stands, here in chapter 11. He's knee-deep in the rubble of what once was. And he looks around, and he realizes that that great tree is gone. Some people had said that the tree had been dying even since the days of David. That it had been, in a sense, rotting from the inside out until someone finally just took pity on that tree and chopped it down. And now all that remains of the once great hopes of Israel is a dead stump. I was thinking about that this week, this image of the stump, and it occurred to me that it is a helpful image to describe, I guess what I would describe as kind of a spirit of despair. It just kind of hangs in the air in our world today. You know, I thought of candidate Obama. Remember back when it was candidate Obama? When he was inaugurated on a platform, you remember this? Of change you can believe in. More than 82% of Americans believed. Seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? It wasn't long there before there were protests in the streets and these town hall meetings, and this promised change got caught in bureaucracy and politics. It was just about a month and a half ago that the president's approval rating was exactly half, 41%. But I'm not a partisan preacher. The Republicans, they're in no better situation right now, right? I mean, we got these caucuses, these Iowa caucuses in like a week and a half. And it seems like the only things Republicans agree on across the country is that they need another candidate. Like, it's been 2 years and like 8 or 10 candidates or something like that, and they still need one more who like really represent the cause. The psalmist says in Psalm 146, says, don't put your trust in princes. Hasn't really stopped us. Yeah, we got these debates. Oh my goodness, debate after debate after debate, and these candidates droning on and on and on. And we're watching, and we're looking for a tree. But our world is full of stumps. You see that Time magazine named the person of the year is the protester? Person of the year is the protester. You got Tunisia, Libya, Wall Street, Washington. People are crying out for something. And a lot of times, they don't even really know what it is. They just know that something has to change. And they it's like they're just reaching for something like justice. They're grasping in the dark for something like truth. And maybe they're just grabbing at straws, but they are like us. They are so tired of living in a world of stumps. It's hard for me to put my finger on it, but I really do sense this sort of almost like a depression hanging in the air. And I'm not just talking about politics anymore. Now, our parents told us, like my parents' generation told my generation that we would have it better than them. And they lied. A technology promised that they would give us like this ever more fulfilling quality of life. We got Angry Birds. And I think if we're honest, we're glad for the distraction. It's better to spend our afternoon flicking like digital birds at digital pigs then, say, have to take some time this afternoon to remember 250,000 people who died in Indonesia 7 years ago today. And we can be grateful that next month they're going to give us a new version of Angry Birds or like some other app, like it'll be like a special holiday edition. And that way we can be sort of comfortably distracted from remembering the 200,000 who died in Haiti, what was that, 2 years ago? We got front-running presidential candidates dropping out of the race in disgrace. We hear about teachers who are sleeping with students. We hear about pastors who are charged with sexual abuse. These are the people in whom we had placed our hope. They had inspired us. They had made us believe. But when the dust settled, it turned out that they too were nothing more than stumps. A new generation is asking, is it worth hoping in anything anymore? Politics is a sham. Technology is a bust. The church is a disgrace. A lot of people say that God is dead. Is it worth hoping in anything anymore? I think it's the most important question of our time. And the stakes are very high. You know, every night, this week especially, I bet, every night, the suicide hotline is going to light up like a Christmas tree with people who want to know. Is it worth hoping in anything anymore? Three 3,000 years ago, Israel asked the same question. Their kings turned out to be tyrants. Their priests turned out to be frauds. The poor lay dying in their streets. Is it worth hoping in anything anymore? And there stood Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, knee-deep in the rubble and refuse of a failed hope. And he told them this. He said, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. A shoot. Now, a shoot is not a tree. You can't see it from miles around. You could even be walking real close by to it and never even really notice it. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. And the shoot he speaks of course, we all know, turns out to be Jesus Christ. Right? Born in the family line of David, he is the King of Kings, the long-anticipated Messiah who will save his people. And he is everything that Isaiah said he would be. He's everything, right? In Jesus' baptism, the Spirit rests on him. Right? That's what Isaiah talks about here in verse 2. The Spirit rests on him. And as a result, he exemplifies every quality of this great Messiah King. Right? He's got wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Jesus had them all. He had all these qualifications, exactly as Isaiah had said. And yet, isn't it interesting that in his lifetime, almost no one recognized Jesus as that king? I mean, at first, crowds kind of pinned their hopes on this Jesus, right? There was a lot of buzz. He seemed pretty promising. But it didn't take long before people were confused. They were frustrated by him. And he wasn't like a military commander who was going to overthrow the Romans. He wasn't any kind of politician, and he certainly was no king. Not like any king that they had ever known. And so they decided that he was not worth putting their hope in. And so they killed him. They hung him on a tree, and they crucified him. Just one more disappointment. Just one more stump in a world already full of them. Have you guys seen this documentary called Life? It's by these guys who did Planet Earth and Blue Planet. I highly recommend all of them. All right. There's this scene in this documentary Life depicting no animal life, only plants, which is kind of unusual for them. And the shot opens with like this barren rock and this tree in just an English forest, not far from the BBC studios where they did all the editing. And so you got the rock and the tree, and then it's time-lapsed from 9 months of footage down to 60 seconds. And in those 60 seconds, life emerges, right? You got grass sprouting and vines kind of spreading all over the place and flowers coming up and blooming. 9 months down to 60 seconds. And they said that of all the scenes in this 10-hour-long documentary, and I mean, we're talking like polar bears and leopard seals, and I wish Jonah were here because there's tree frogs in this thing. 10 hours of footage. They said that the plants were the hardest thing to film. The plants. 60 seconds of leaves growing and moss spreading and flowers coming up out of the ground. You know why it was so hard? It's because plant life emerges so fitfully. You can't just like park a camera crew in the woods and point your camera at the tree on Monday and then like pull it out of there on Friday and expect great footage. For months, it will seem like nothing is happening at all. And like in just one afternoon, this little like 1-inch plant will shoot up like 5 inches. It'll be this. You'll wait for weeks, and then in just like 30 seconds, a flower will unfurl and open up to the world. So I think that's kind of like what Jesus is like. He came as a baby, born into poverty. We know quite a bit about the first, 24 hours of his life, and then there's like 30 years where we don't know if he did anything. Really much of anything. We don't know. He's not some king, right, consolidating his power and crashing through some barricade. He's not some presidential candidate giving speeches and kissing babies and then hopping in his motorcade. I mean, the Jews, Israel, they were expecting their salvation in the form of something big. Like a mighty king to overthrow the Romans. Israel was expecting their salvation in the form of a tree. But God sent them hope in the form of a shoot. And for a lot of people, that just doesn't work. Like this whole Jesus thing just doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Because here you've got God, who is also this little baby. You've got the King of Kings, and yet he's wasting interminable hours with losers, with prostitutes and children and all the like lepers and stuff. He was a misfit. He was out of place. The people in his time were confused by him. They were frustrated that he did not meet their expectations. So frustrated that they killed him. But then isn't it interesting that this nothing of a shoot, this baby, this little baby, would prove to be the cause of more hope in our world than anything before or since. More than any king, more than any philosopher, more than any person or idea. Nothing, not even close, nothing can come close to matching what this little shoot has done for our world. Isaiah tries to capture it at the end of our passage today. He tries to capture like how far-reaching the consequences of this king's reign would be, and it comes out like nonsense. Right? You got bears and cows hanging out together. You got wolves and lambs. You got leopards and goats. You got children playing with poisonous snakes. I mean, Isaiah is not talking about some like shot in the arm of good religious feelings. This is more than just good morals for the kids, right? What this shoot, what Jesus is doing, it's far-reaching. It is world-flipping revolution. I mean, this little shoot may have seemed unassuming and insignificant, even grown to a man. Jesus was not recognized for who he was. And yet, he has been changing lives and communities in dramatic ways for thousands of years. In a way that no one else has, not even close. And the beauty is this. He often does it in just the same way that he came. So for a lot of us, right, he gets into your heart quietly. Like the tune of this song that you can't stop humming. He gets into your bones. And before long, you start caring about things that you didn't care about before. You start loving people you used to ignore. Now, it usually isn't dramatic and all at once. I mean, sometimes it is frustratingly slow. And I suppose that a lot of people wouldn't even notice it unless they were paying like really close attention. But slowly, fitfully, over a long period of time, Jesus flips you. I mean, you stop living for yourself. You start living for God. I mean, that's a miracle. Every time, that is a miracle. And yet, it is a miracle that our world almost never notices. See, and I believe that's what our two communities are. Like, that's our specialty. We are groups of people who have noticed. Right? I mean, we have noticed that God is flipping us. We have noticed that He's finding these people in Grand Rapids and in the Creston neighborhood. He's finding people whose lives look a lot like stumps. I mean, all of us, aren't we? We're failures. Disappointments, we've let people down. I mean, I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about you. We're not trees. We are stumps. And yet, when I pay attention, I mean, when we pay attention, what I see are these shoots coming up everywhere. These signs of hope and life and change coming up from people who I thought were dead. You know what this is? You know what these are? These are signs that the King is bringing His kingdom. If a person as self-centered as me or as stingy as you can be made generous and kind, if God can bring life out of a stump like you or a stump like me, then it is not so hard for me to imagine a bear hanging out with a cow. It's not so hard to imagine a wolf lying down with a lamb. It's not so hard to imagine a child playing with poisonous snakes, because God is up to something. I can see it right here in this place. God is up to something. Thanks be to Him. All right, let's pray together. God, we pray that You'd take these stumps of our lives, all these failed hopes and promises and failures, and all the sins that we hold so closely, and that You would do that thing that You do, that You would bring life out of that death, that You would bring hope out of that stump, that You would just show up in our lives, even today. We need You today, real bad, that You would show up and just flip us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.